I Can Rebuild It is an unusual title for a sermon. Brother David Johnson will speak to us on that topic today on this Words of Life program. We are supported by the prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Our program is presented weekly, as it has been for more than 75 years. We now worship our Lord with song.
Yeah. Somewhere the task is done. Somewhere the heart is stronger. Somewhere the burden won.
Somewhere, beautiful land of somewhere.
Land of the true.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we thank you for loving us so much and giving us Jesus for our salvation. We praise you for this and for the way you bless us and sustain us each day. Please be with each of our listeners and grant to them the health, peace, and spiritual relationship with you. Persecuted Christians always need your special care and strength. And Lord, please help us to be ready for the promised return of Jesus when he comes to meet his church. Thank you for hearing us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Based upon the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, Brother David Johnson will now speak on the topic, I Can Rebuild It.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life Christian radio broadcasts as we share the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, I Can Rebuild It. And our text, our primary text, is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We'll read the text during the body of the lesson. Living in the Midwest in America, in the United States, with four distinct seasons, springtime is fondly anticipated and amazing. It is so because it grows out of one of the dreariest times of each year. Late winter in the state of Indiana can still be rather bleak. Winter doesn't seem to want to give up its grip of cold wind and cloud-covered skies. Black-barked trees still streak the horizon. During this dormant time, often idle time, when by all appearances nothing much seems to be happening, a dynamic energy is growing underground and visibly at the very tips of tender shoots of plants. Chemical changes begin. Cells reproduce. Outer coverings begin to split. Specks of green push up against the soil and out on branches. On the surface, without close inspection, everything remains colorless and cold. But beneath the surface, the spark of new life, of change, of renewal agitates. Finally, life breaks through, and soon a profusion of green and fields of blossoms in yellows, pinks, and purples ignite the branches, and the landscape. Nehemiah, the Hebrew name means God comforts, was God's man who in a time of long darkness and drear for Israel was to bring comfort once again to Jews in Jerusalem and Judah. On the surface, nothing in Jerusalem for the Jews was stirring. Everything remained bleak and dead. But beneath the surface, that was visible, the invisible purpose of the living God, was at work. Through Nehemiah, God's servant leader, the time had come for Jerusalem's spring to renewed life was being ignited. Nehemiah, distressed by the report of Jerusalem's broken, miserable condition, approached God in prayer on behalf of his people, the Judean Jews. He fasted, he prayed, he sought God's mercy and help. 4 months he prayed and waited. All the while, the walls of Jerusalem remained piles of rubble. The gates of the city remained scorched and burned out. All the time, Nehemiah continued his service to the king of Persia. Life on the surface remained unchanged. But where no man can see, the power and will of God was at work in the heart of the king and the heart of his cupbearer, Nehemiah. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. When believers today fast, pray, and wait on God, it can certainly still be a time of expectation, despite appearances, that God's power and will can effect change in his good time. It may not be the change we want, but God never makes mistakes. Let's look closer at our study text and make personal application. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king, and had not been sad in his presence before. The month of Nisan, according to the Jewish calendar, refers to our March-April. That is, springtime after a cold winter in Persia, modern-day Iran. King Artaxerxes ruled the Persian Empire, which at its height stretched from west to east, from the Balkans in Southeast Europe, and also in the West Europe, to the Indus Valley, modern-day Pakistan, and parts of northern India. An area more than 3,000 miles across and 2.1 million square miles, which held nearly half of the then-known world's population. Artaxerxes ruled from 465 to 424 BC, or for 41 years. His empire had attained great wealth and power. The citadel city of Susa was its capital, located in what is today southwest Iran. Nehemiah, as the king's cupbearer of wine, was responsible for tasting and serving the wine to the king to assure its goodness and safety to drink. Nehemiah was a Jewish layman, not a priest like Ezra. He served the king of Persia in a purely secular position as cupbearer. He had high position in the royal court and privileged access to the king. So on such an occasion, perhaps at a private banquet, Nehemiah took wine and gave it to the king. Note the curious words, quote, I had not been sad in his presence before. Why would Nehemiah make this comment? Because Persian monarchs strictly required that those who served them were not to bring personal troubles of any kind into their presence on the penalty of death. Only pleasant servants were required. Such a breach of deportment could signal conspiracy or disrespect. Nehemiah, during months of fasting and praying, carefully had maintained his composure and cheerful disposition. Probably he purposely chose this particular time to lower his guard before the eyes of the king, even though it meant great risk to himself. Traditionally, the month of Nisan, again, March and April, our calendar, marked the beginning of the Persian year. New Year's celebrations were often accompanied by royal special favors and generosity. Nehemiah, led by God, understood that this festive time presented the best opportunity to ask the king for a favor. Verse 2. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid. We should not think that such words from a Persian king were meant to be particularly comforting. However, Nehemiah's heart must have risen a bit in hearing the king's words that this can be nothing but sadness of heart, which encouraged him to share his heart's heavy burden, yet with great fear also. Today, our world is filled to the brim with fears of all kinds, wars and rumors of war, violence, natural disaster, pestilences, economic hardship, not to mention our own personal and family difficulties and fears. What are we to do, especially as believers, toward the same exact God as Nehemiah? Well, what did he do? He prayed. He fasted. He patiently waited on the Lord. Yet Nehemiah, as we shall learn, refused to allow his sadness, refused to allow his fear to consume him. When we allow our fears to rule us, to consume us, we in effect make fear more powerful in our minds and hearts than what God is. Because God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Is there a task? Is there a need that God wants us to do, but fear is holding us back? Recognizing why one is afraid is the very first step in committing it, that concern, that fear, to God. We should realize that if God is impressing upon us to do or not to do something, know that He will help us in it and through it. Consider in the New Testament 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Also, consider Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 in the New King James Version, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." These admonitions are energized in us through active, not passive, faith. Note what Nehemiah did regarding his circumstances, verse 3. "But I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?'" First, Nehemiah voiced respect for the king. Then he unloaded the burden of his heart. Too many attempt to hold their emotions in. This is counterproductive. The king again offered hope. Verses 4 and 5. "The king said to me, 'What is it that you want?' Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah, where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it.'" The king wanted specifics, Before Nehemiah answered, he silently petitioned God, surely for wisdom, for boldness, built on his fervency of prayer for months. Nehemiah was courteous. If it pleases the king, with humility, your servant. And he wisely appealed to universal respect for ancestral burial sites, which was of great concern to ancient peoples, and particularly to imperial rulers and their royal line. Mindful that Artaxerxes distrusted the inhabitants of Jerusalem, notice that Nehemiah only mentioned Judah and avoided naming the capital city, thereby phrasing his requests in terms most likely led by God to gain a favorable response from the king. Verse 6. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. The king's answer indicates that he gave permission for Nehemiah to go back to Judah, the land of his forefathers. Note in verse 5, Nehemiah stated, "I can rebuild it." We all have circumstances in which we have fallen down. With God's help, believers can rebuild. We can rebuild inner hope, rebuild love, rebuild relationships, rebuild faith, rebuild courage, even and in spite of outward circumstances. Remember, God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And of course, he's only going to do it according to his will and his timing, which we must submit to and be patient. Nehemiah's silent prayer in verse 4 is one of the very few times a voiceless prayer is found in the Old Testament. It was urgency on the spot, a prayer from a genuine heart, however brief, such as "help," which exclaims humility and dependence that God the Father hears loud and clear. Always, always include God, certainly in our struggles, in our disappointments and fears. He is the unseen creator of the cosmos, yet he, as King of Kings, still delights in showering his favor on those who belong to him. But we must trust him. He is there. We should unload. We should share our heart with God.
What will your answer be?
Even sermons from the Old Testament books can help us to learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that you have been blessed. If you have questions or comments, please write to us. You may also write to us for a free CD of this and next week's program. Ask for program 2401. That's 2401. Please feel free to write to us. We want to hear from you, and thank you for listening today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.